The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
And good morning to you, just turning 5 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 16th of May, 2023. Interesting story there in the news about wonky fruit and veg. I mean, would you be put off by a wonky carrot or a wonky cucumber? You don't see them around too much, do you? 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text number, by the way, to get involved in the program today, to comment on what we're talking about, to raise your issues. Give us a call to an 07491 25,000. Caroline Orr, of course, as always, taking your calls, and Niamh working with us on the show as well. You can email comments at highlandradio.com. Shall we have a look at what's making the front of the newspapers and on some cases inside? Let's start with the Donegal Democrat. Donegal charities say food poverty is growing, a growing issue in the county, and is causing a disproportionate amount of ill health. Access, affordability and availability of health food in rural areas have been identified as challenges by charities, which say the situation is only going to get worse. The problem facing groups dealing with food inequality were raised at the Food Equality Forum this week. The event at the Regional Cultural Centre in Letterkenny on Wednesday was hosted by the HSC Sláinte Care Healthy Communities Programme and Donegal Food Response Network. The aim of the event was to share existing learning, identify models of good practice and develop a collaborative approach to addressing food inequality in Donegal. And we spoke yesterday on the show, in case you didn't hear it, to three ladies who were involved in providing food for people who can't afford food. And it was a sobering and eye-opening interview. Certainly was aware of what was going on, but certainly not on the scale that we were told it is from the coalface. It's available on our podcast. It's in the second hour, I believe, of yesterday's show. Or you can watch it back, in fact, on my own Facebook page as well. But it really is an eye-opener. And after that piece, I believe there were some really quite generous donations to people who are helping to feed, a lot of them working people, who can't afford to feed themselves because of the rising cost of living. So if any of you did respond to that appeal yesterday, I'm sure I can thank you on the charity's behalf. So the Derry Journal: Gardaí have confirmed that a fire at a premises in Lisfannan, which was due to be developed for the use of Ukrainian refugees, was arson. Gardaí say they're continuing to investigate the incident, which was reported to them shortly before midnight on Thursday last, in which a premises was significantly damaged. The incident occurred at a premises within a business park in the Lisfannan area. Gardaí say they attended the scene at around 11:55 p.m. The fire was extinguished by local fire services. The premises, which Gardaí confirmed was unoccupied at the time of the fire, was significantly damaged. And you would have heard on the show yesterday, Peter Casey offering a €10,000 reward for any information which leads to arrests and convictions in relation to that arson attack. The Irish Times this morning: the Department of Immigration privately warned that officials were seeing a growing reluctance from some local authorities to accommodate more Ukrainian refugees in their areas due to pressures on services, according to an internal briefing. The government is scrambling to find shelter for 520 asylum seekers it's been unable to accommodate after anti-immigrant protesters targeted camps of homeless asylum seekers sleeping in tents in Dublin City in recent days. Minister for Children Roderick O'Gorman has said it is hoped many of the asylum seekers currently homeless will be offered accommodation this week. The department is due to open four new accommodation centres, mostly refurbished office buildings, within the next fortnight. Three of the sites are in Dublin. One is in County Clare. As controversy over the County Clare premises, locals down there at the moment are, depending on the reports you read, blockading or protesting at that premises. Reading on here, officials are also exploring the possibility of leasing barges to use as accommodation. However, one source said there was no expectation of any imminent move to use barges. In an internal briefing, the department reported a growing reluctance from some local authorities and communities to take more Ukrainian refugees into the localities. Now, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but they seem to be mixing up two stories here. One is the Ukrainian refugee situation, which I think some time ago the authorities in Donegal said that our services were maxed out. And the second is people looking for international protection, which is a different cohort of people as well. But the two stories seem to have been intermixed in this Irish Times article, unless I am misreading it. I suspect I'm not, but anyway. The Irish Independent tells us that European wine, beer and spirits makers are stepping up their actions to try to block Ireland's plans for labels and alcohol packaging linking drinks to cancer. They claim the proposals will damage the EU single market. Spirits Europe, a group representing small distillers and major alcohol producers, including Diageo and Pernod Ricard, has lodged an official complaint. It is asking the European Commission to open infringement procedure against Ireland over the labels between brewers of Europe, which represents EU beer makers in 29 countries, as well as the European Committee of Wine Companies, which acts on behalf of 7,000 wine producers, have also lodged complaints with the EU executive. I would imagine they're fearful that if these labels are introduced on Ireland, it'll be like the smoking ban. It'll be one European country after another. But do you think alcohol, with proven links to cancer, should have labelling on it pointing out those links? Or is that something you don't want to see at all? Let us know. 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000. Irish Daily Mail, Leo Varadkar said that there are not enough Gardaí on the streets to combat violent attacks on refugees, though later the Minister for Defence seemed to contradict him. But the Taoiseach said he was shocked and horrified at the burning of refugee tents in Dublin City and feels worried about further similar attacks happening. But hours later, as I mentioned, Acting Justice Minister Simon Harris appeared to dispute his party leader's comments. Now, Leo Varadkar sounds a little bit like, this is just an observation, all right, it's not a criticism, deflecting here, because I think there are some people out there that might argue that the reason people are on tents is A, because of our immigration policy, but B, also is arguably the government's failure to provide accommodation. That's why they ended up in tents on the street. That's why people were out protesting. That's why the Gardaí had to get involved, and that's why he said there weren't enough Gardaí. If there was enough housing, we wouldn't even be talking about this. So I think there's a bit of distraction going on here, a bit of look over there. Simon Harris appeared to dispute his party leader's comments. He said, "We can always do with more Gardaí, but I'm absolutely satisfied from talking to the commissioner that he, to use his phrase, was operational, or has operational integrity, and is satisfied he can carry out the policing plans in place. We saw a very visible Garda presence over the weekend. We saw the public order unit deployed. We saw uniformed Gardaí deployed as well." So a slight difference of opinion, it seems, there. Staying with An Garda Síochána, Gardaí missed more than 75,000 days of duty last year after they were injured in the line of duty. These are figures published in today's Irish Daily Mirror. There were 20,807 days of absence caused by a malicious injury, with a further 20 days lost where a Garda was attacked off duty. More than 40,000 days were lost to an accidental injury that happened during work, while 6,822 days were taken following a traffic accident while working. Figures released under Freedom of Information show more than 235,000 days were lost to illness last year, the equivalent of 645 officers off sick on any given day. I don't know why the Freedom of Information request was put in for that information. It's hard to make sense of it. Maybe no surprise to you in the Sun today that a third of homeowners, and I think this is pretty conservative, a third of homeowners cannot afford to make their properties more energy efficient, a new report has revealed. However, a survey of over 1,000 adults found almost a quarter had recently improved their house to make it greener. And Savills Ireland found a further 23% of plans to carry out works that will cut energy bills over the next 12 to 24 months. Savills Beverly Enzor yesterday said, "Without doubt, any move that makes your home more energy efficient has a multitude of benefits." And it's perhaps something we're going to have to look at, because there are some rumblings in Europe and some legislation currently being worked on that would make it illegal for you to sell your property or to buy another if it didn't meet certain energy standards. What do you think about that? 2030, I think the target is, it'd have to have a certain energy rating before you could actually even put it up on the market. But as I say, it's early doors on that, but it's coming down the tracks. And lastly, in the Irish Daily Star today, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said he's spoken to his partner Matt Barrett about comments made on his Instagram about King Charles' coronation. He said it won't happen again, as Mr. Varadkar agreed that the commentary provided by the cardiologist on a private Instagram account was irreverent. Mr. Barrett apologised for the comments yesterday evening. He said that it was poor judgment and he unreservedly apologised for any offence caused. Very few Fine Gael TDs or senators were aware of the controversy, but some branded it silly. It was reported on Saturday that Mr. Barrett had 350 Instagram followers. That number dropped to 270 last night. Miriam Lord reported in her Irish Times column on Saturday that Mr. Barrett had posted several messages on Instagram while inside Westminster Abbey at King Charles's coronation on May 6th. When asked about the incident at a press conference in Limerick, the Taoiseach said that he had spoken to Mr. Barrett about the posts. Matt is a private individual, my partner for over 7 years now, he said. It was some private messages sent to some friends on his private account. He never intended them to be public, but that happens sometimes. How silly are some people now? You know, who cares what he said about the royal family on his own private account, but he perhaps should know better given his profile. But he's a private citizen. But my word, to say possibly might become public, and it shouldn't. It always does. Okay. Good morning to Charlie, Josephine, Annie, Marie O'Donnell, and Anna, among those watching us live on our social media. Don't forget you can watch the show every single day on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch on your tablet, your phone, your smart TV. Most smart TVs now will have the YouTube app, and many of you have them, or on your Fire Stick. Just search Highland Radio Ireland. And you can also watch us across our Facebook pages and on our website. Just click Watch Live. We are right there too. Now, a petition has been launched to keep Father Paddy Dunn in his parish of Kilmacrenan. The community has been shocked at plans to move the very popular Father Paddy to another parish in Ballyshannon, and people have been urging others to speak about plans to move Father Dunn. Susan joins us on the programme. Hi, Susan.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
Thanks very much for joining us. Father Paddy Dunn obviously has become a very important part of Kilmacrenan and the wider Kilmacrenan area.
Indeed he has. On Saturday night when we got the news that he was leaving, I think Kilmacrenan, the tears were running down like the linen. It was very sad. We don't want to lose him. We do not want to lose him. He's such a good priest. And we do our best. We can't do nothing more, but we're doing our best to try and keep him. Why? We also need a parish priest in Kilmacrenan. Mm-hmm. As Kilmacrenan is an old village, a very historical village. We've had priests all from the 1850. That's well over 150 years. And now I think by the sound of it, we're going to lose a priest. We're going to lose our parish priest, this is not fair. I don't know. I'm just only talking from the heart.
No,
we just love Father Paddy.
The reason this has come about is the bishop, as all bishops do, tend to move clergy around from one parish to another from time to time. No replacement for Father Paddy has been announced at this point, Susan.
As far as I can gather, Father Paddy is going to a different parish in the county, and we're going to get nobody, not even a priest will we have in the village. I think it's very sad. But the priest that is supposed to be, the priest that is coming to Termon, is going to live in Termon, and the parish priest of Termon is living in Churchill. So we're going to be left with no priest. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very, very sad. With Kilmacrenan, there's so much history to us. Cardinal Logue, we had a cardinal born in Kilmacrenan. St. Columba went to school in Kilmacrenan. We had priests down through the years. Unfortunately, we had a very dark period one time, and not so long ago. But since Father Dunn came along, everything has changed. The chapel is packed with people. They're so happy to see him, and the children fair love him. The elderly love him. I just don't know why. Why is he doing this to us? It's very sad. I'm sure Bishop Allen is a very honourable man, and I'm sure he should think on the people of Kilmacrenan, and that's all I can say.
Yeah, and it's not just the having a parish priest in the area, is it, Susan? Father Paddy has become an integral part of the area, a pillar in the community.
Of course, he's involved in everything. We have a group called the Young at Heart, and it's amazing what happened there. It was he who got us. There's a lot of people that never left the door since the COVID. Mm-hmm. And he has them all out, and they're not afraid to come out anymore. And just because Father Paddy organized this Young at Heart, I'm only speaking as an elderly person. And there's, the young people are the same. There's football, there's everything going on in Kilmacrenan. And Father Paddy just spare loves everybody. The children love him. And we don't want to lose him.
Yeah,
we're going to plead with the bishop to try to keep him.
And I think, too, maybe not everyone might realise that people feel this on a really very personal level. It's like losing a family member or losing a friend, the thought of losing Father Paddy. I'm not exaggerating in that regard. Some people will feel this incredibly personally.
Definitely not exaggerating in that. I can nearly swear on my bended knee here that the majority of people are sitting crying here this morning about waiting, thinking of losing Father Paddy Dunn. Mm. Not only that, his poor mother lives up the road, getting an elderly woman like myself. She lost her son last year. She doesn't want to lose another one. And a brother as well. And I mean, it's very unfair. Everything was going very well. Why has he got to go? Why don't they send Father McGeever to this parish or some other parish?
I suppose,
but anyway, that's only my personal opinion.
I understand, but I suppose, you know, there are a couple of retirees as well, and there's not necessarily a conveyor belt of new priests coming through, and the bishop has to look at... He has to look at the area and try and provide the best coverage possible. And unfortunately, that's going to mean sometimes some tough decisions have to be made.
I know. Hard decisions have to be made. I suppose it's not very fair. He has to make these decisions. But why pick on a good man that we have that's doing so much for the parish? Mm. He's built up the parish. I would love you to come out to Kilmacrenan to the chapel on the Sunday to see the packed chapel.
Yeah.
And also to listen to the music, beautiful choir that he has organised.
Mm-hmm.
And all the young families that are coming now. And Greg, you remember the tragedy in Creasley?
Yes.
Who was there first?
Mm-hmm.
Our Father Paddy Dunn down helping Father John Joe. And he never left. I don't know. He has a heart of gold. I don't know how we're going to live without him. We need him. We have to keep him.
Right. And we're going to appeal
on the bishop's good nature, mm-hmm, to keep him.
Okay. And he's supposed to be moving, isn't he, to Kilbarron from the 24th of June. There's online petitions. Hundreds of people have signed them as well. Obviously, Susan, you're making your views known here on Highland Radio, and I presume there'll be physical petitions. The local parish are going to fight for Father Paddy. There's just no doubt about that.
Yeah. At the moment, there are 500 people who have signed this petition. So that's goes to show you. And that's only in 2 days.
Mm.
And we're having a vigil here. Well, Greg, we're having a vigil here on Friday night at 9 o'clock. Candlelit vigil up at the chapel, outside the chapel. We're just devastated. We don't know what to do. We're pleading. We're desperate. We're pleading. Okay. And that's all. We don't want to lose our parish priest. Father Paddy Dunn is... he's just like a light that came into Kilmacrenan. Mm. You have no idea how the feeling of Kilmacrenan was a few years ago. There was a very black cloud around here. Nobody was coming to Mass. Everybody was... They just turned against their...
But everything,
all religion.
Everything changed, I guess. Yeah. No, I was saying, and then Father Paddy came in and everything changed, which is exactly
everything
the point you're making.
Yeah. And also, our neighbours, our non-Catholic neighbours, just fair love them. They are signing the petition as well. They're so sorry to leave him, lose him.
Okay,
so
well,
we're
getting on to the. I mean, I think we all respect the difficult decisions the bishop has to make. So there's nothing personal here, but we're making contact with his office to see what he has to say on this. And if anyone else wants to get involved in the conversation, they can do so too. Susan, thank you very much for your very passionate contribution. I appreciate it.
And, you know, would you announce, Greg, it's worth it, like, would you announce about the vigil on Friday night at 9 o'clock?
I will mention it right now. I will. Go, no problem, Susan. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.
God bless you. Okay. And just as Susan requested, a candlelit vigil will be held on Friday night at 9 p.m. outside the chapel in Kilmacrenan. And it is in a show of solidarity with Father Paddy Dunn. So I'm sure I can speak on Susan's behalf. And they want a really big turnout from the local community there to send that message. One more time, Friday night, this coming Friday, 9 p.m. outside the chapel in Kilmacrenan. The clergy appointments as follows. The very, very Reverend Cahill O'Farrell, parish priest, Kilbarron Ballyshannon. He's retiring with the very Reverend Patrick Dunn, the parish priest of Kilmacrenan, to be the parish priest of Kilbarron, effective there from the 24th of June. The very Reverend Michael McKeever, parish priest, Garton, and Terman to be, in addition, parish priest at Kilmacrenan. The Reverend Martin Chambers, chaplain at Letterkenny University Hospital, to be CC, Kilmacrenan and Terman, resident in Terman. Reverend Francis Ferry, CC Mount Charles, and Drumarone to be chaplain at Letterkenny University Hospital, and the very Reverend Seamus Daggins to be AP Mount Charles and Drumarone. Okay, a bit complicated, but anyway, that's the information there. We got an email to say, hi, Caroline, I'm just forwarding correspondence I received from Carndonagh Community School regarding a change of uniform. Now, in a time of economic stress for families, this school decides to change uniform from uniforms which we had purchased in good faith last year and the year before in the hope that they would hopefully last a few years. Also, they are not allowed to buy any generic options which could be so much more cost effective. I could buy a skirt for my daughter for €10 rather than the €45 to €55 suggested. The Department of Education states that in all instances, schools should allow generic options if possible. Indeed, they should. Obviously, CCs are not going with this. Am I the only parent that's outraged given the current economic climate? Now, just bear in mind, yesterday we were talking about hundreds upon hundreds of people in this county that simply can't afford to put food on the table. So to mark the 50th anniversary of Carndonagh Community School, we plan to update the school uniform. Following a meeting with the Central Parents Committee, so, I mean, some parents were on board, from next August, we're introducing a new jumper for senior students in transition year, fifth year and sixth year. We are also introducing a standardised skirt for all year groups. All students can continue to wear grey school trousers. We're introducing a standardised shirt, skirt for those who choose to wear a skirt. You now have a chance to pick which skirt and jumper you prefer. With the growing trend for sustainability and the move away from fast fashion, we've chosen a skirt with an adjustable slider and so on and so forth, okay? But that's going to cost people hundreds of euro. And one listener says there is no generic option. Do you agree with that move by Carndonagh Community School, particularly at this time? 086 60 25,000. Now, delighted to welcome onto the programme Bishop Alan McGaughey and Bishop of Riffo. Bishop, thanks so much for your time this morning.
It's, not at all. Thank
you. And I think you may not have heard my conversation with Susan, but we both recognise that particularly with retirees and perhaps not a huge influx of new priests, it's a difficult task you face in providing adequate cover, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. But listen, let me say first, I know from the position I'm in how painful it is for a community to lose a much loved priest, and indeed painful for priests to move on. And in many ways, the outpouring of sadness that we're hearing is—it's a tribute both to the priest and in other cases, many other priests, and to the people and the relationship that they have built up. Then there's my position. I'm responsible for a whole diocese of 33 parishes and something like 50 church areas, and the priests join me in that responsibility. And you know, so like while we're men give themselves heart and soul, and they do in the parish they're in, at a certain stage they have to. They have to move on. Listen, I know from my own life, this is not easy either on the person, the priest who's moving, or on the people he's leaving behind. I do not underestimate that. But like as I say, it's a testament to the richness of the relationships that our priests and parish communities have. But then, you know, I have to invite people also, and maybe now in the moment of the grieving is not the time to do that, to look forward to the next stage. And, you know, the Lord provides. That has been my experience all my life, and it's what I call people to. Father Dunn will be made very welcome where he is going, and I know that the priests who are going to be ministering, and there's two of them, the parish priest and the curate who are going to be ministering in Kilmacrenan, will be welcome too, and there'll be great richness in that as well.
Is this part of the process, part of priesthood, part of being a bishop, that perhaps even someone who's done very well and the people of Kilmacrenan perhaps will feel blessed to have Father Paddy for 12 years, but that he has work to do elsewhere?
To do elsewhere.
Is that how it is?
And I have seen it again and again where something great has happened in a parish when a priest has been there. And then he has to move on, and there's a great loss for him. And you know, it's almost hurtful to say it, but like you know, a year later you find great things happening somewhere else, and also great things happening back where he was. You know, like there is pain in this for everybody. This is it's part of living, and it's certainly part of the priesthood. You know, and just that thing, as I said, the priests have to join me as bishop in caring for the whole diocese, and you know, one area's loss then is another's gain, and another, you know, like you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, Bishop. Can I put it to you just directly, because it might help to clarify things for everybody this morning. Obviously, there's a massive outpouring of love for Father Paddy. Hundreds and hundreds, 500-odd people and more, have signed an online petition. We heard from Susan there that there's going to be a candlelit vigil on Friday night at 9 p.m. But I'm sensing from some of the language, it's almost tough love language that you're having to leave, if I'm not miscategorising it to you, sorry, that this is a decision that has been made, and Father Paddy's going along with it. You have to stick with it. And that's just the where we're at. And as I said, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I just, if we can, while we have you, just get absolute clarity in that regard.
Yes, Greg, that is, I know it is painful for people, and clearly I hear all those voices. But yes, it is. It's a decision that I have made that is going forward.
A caller believes that the area now does not have a parish priest, that your decision's effectively amalgamating Kilmacrenan and Termon, and they're just looking for you to sort of clarify that if possible.
Well, they know. Yes, the one parish priest is parish priest of both communities. There are two priests where there were two priests, so Kilmacrenan will be very, very well served. I do not want to resile from that. I want to be very clear that the the provision I am making. And this is in a situation where we have less and less priests. There's no doubt about that. Thank God we have young men in seminary and there is a future for our diocese, but we have less priests. But in the appointments that I am making, both Kilmacrenan and Termon are being very well served at a time when this is not easy to do.
What is the process, Bishop, just to give us an insight into when you decide that you have to move people around? Is it normally triggered by retirements, or do you look at different areas and think, well, that person maybe has some work to do there and this person can continue that work there?
Of course. Listen, there can be, in many ways, these are personnel decisions, the same as personnel decisions will be made in any other area. Mm. But there's a discernment involved, what the Lord is calling us to at a particular time. And yes, but retirements are a part of it.
Mm. And I'm sure sometimes a priest might choose to retire if he doesn't want to move. I mean, that's part of management as well, I imagine.
That could happen, but listen, priests are... they have made a promise of obedience, every one of us. As a bishop, I've had a man put his hands in mine and promise obedience to me and my successors. And it's not obedience to the bishop, it's obedience to God. Like, this is a very... There's a very serious spiritual faith-based theology behind the commitment of the priest, and we're all part of that.
Yes.
And I suppose and listen, in many ways, that is a key thing that makes these things so important, and ultimately so important for people. You know, like, it's there's the tremendous relationship that there has been there in Kilmacrenan has been often, it's a human reality, but it's a faith-based reality, and a big part of the faith of the priest is his commitment to obedience. That's ultimately obedience to God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I suppose too the congregation or the collective of individuals, I suppose, have to have a bit of faith in your decisions and the reason for which you've made them. They don't have to make that commitment like a priest might, but I presume you ask them to sort of maybe.
I do.
To trust the tough decisions that you have to make.
But listen, you know, you don't lay that on. I mean, you're asking me these questions, and I have to answer them honestly. But you don't ask. You know, like telling people that it'll be all right sometime in the future is not the best answer at a moment when I recognise people are really, really, really sad and hurting, and I understand that. And I want to honour that more than anything else.
And very finally, I'm going to get texts in, and I think one or two already have, in terms of, you know, consulting the people. But I don't know how you could, given... the area that you covered and you outlined it right at the top, it would be almost impossible, wouldn't it, to have a level of consultation, and that's not really how it's done either.
No. As bishop of this big area, I am also calling people to a sense of commitment to the church, which is a bigger thing than a local area. We all experience the church in our local area. Yes, we do. I know we do, and that's a great thing. Like, ultimately, we all experience the domestic church in our own home. But then we're part of a bigger church beyond our own home. And our parishes and people in our parishes are part of a bigger church of the Diocese of Rafu. And then we're part of a bigger church that is the Universal Church. And that calls us beyond ourselves. And then, like, somebody like me, in a certain sense, is in the middle, is of necessity calling people outside and beyond themselves. And, you know, if I was constantly, overruled by a local concern, it would be impossible for me to run a diocese.
Okay. Okay, that's everything clear. Sorry if some of the questions were clumsy, but I just wanted to cover everything that might come in whilst you're here. Bishop Alan McGaughian, Bishop of Raphoe, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
Take care, okay. Thank you very much. God bless you too. Bishop Alan McGaughian there. So unfortunately, we have absolute clarity for you. It's perhaps not the news that you might have wanted to hear, but you heard from the bishop himself there that he has had to make this decision, and it's a decision he has to stick with. And it's a decision because of that commitment obligation, I think the phraseology was, is that that the priests have to go along with. Loads of comments on that. Shall I just run through them now? I might as well, hadn't I? Definitely respect the tough decision the bishop faces, says the listener. What about engagement with parishioners, though? What about respect for their wishes, too? And you heard the direct response to your comment there from the bishop. Father Paddy is a wonderful priest, says this listener. He's a friend to everyone. We are all heartbroken at his decision. We've been given a curate who could have been given the parish of Ballyshannon. It's terrible. We will have no parish priest. Well, you'll have a parish priest covering Kilmacrenan and Termon with the CC. And as you heard from the bishop there, he feels that Father Paddy might have some work to do in the parish of Ballyshannon. Another, we lost a parish priest in the parish of Burt Inch and Fawn. Not a thing we could do about it. Not enough of priests. Father Bradley is our PP now, based in Buncrana. That comes in from Kathleen. Glen Swilly has been neglected for years, so I understand the feelings of the Kilmacrenan Pranish parish, says another listener. Another here, I'd like to see Father Paddy Dunn stay. He was a great comfort and support to everyone in this community and further afield during the Creaslod tragedy with Father John Joe and Father McGarvey. Good luck to Father Paddy Dunn, but it's not a slap. Is it not a slap in the face by the parishioners or to the parishioners to his replacements, Father McGeever and Father Martin Chambers, who are also fine priests and who now may be reluctant to take up their new post in the face of this petition? I don't think that's the spirit of the petition. I think that this is more of an outpouring of love and appreciation to Father Paddy Dunn than it is a slight on anyone else's characters. And if you heard, as you heard from the bishop there, he's confident that in time something good will come from these decisions that he's having to make. Another listening to the woman on speaking about Father Dunn, I was so sorry to hear the sad news. Also, I don't know why they have to take them away from the parish after such a long time. Every Sunday I enjoyed going to Mass in Cool. He's such a cool priest. Always put a smile on your face. He'll be sadly missed. Why does the bishop, why doesn't he bring home Father Joseph Bridie, is it? And Father Eamon McLaughlin, two amazing priests. Another, Susan, as much as I support the petition to keep Father Paddy, I don't believe the bishop will change his mind. And we heard that directly from him there. He didn't capitulate to similar petitions or requests from other parishes. And on they go. Carol's on line one with us now. Hi, Carol.
Hiya.
How are you getting on?
I'm not too bad. I'm just after listening to the bishop, and no fault to any of his wording, because obviously he has a tough decision to be made. I am from Kilmacrenan, and I've grown up around Kilmacrenan. I've been going to Mass for a long time in Kilmacrenan. And basically, when Father Dunn came, there was very little young people going to Mass. Very little turnout from young people. I'd have been 18, 17, 18 at the time. And since he came, the crowd of Mass now, I heard Susan earlier online, the crowds at Mass, that has to be credit to who Father Dunn is. That has to be. And I know, like, you know, at the end of the day, they are called to where they're meant to be and this. But I feel like he's more than a parish priest. He's a valued member of our community and our parish. And I think personally, I'm one of the ones behind the petition. And I think personally, if we don't give this a good fight, then, you know, it wouldn't be worth our... He deserves all the effort.
And you are a young person, and you were a particularly young person when Father Paddy came to the area. And
I was,
you're saying he seemed to have the ability to reach younger people.
Oh, and he still does. All the school children, and Susan said that herself, all the school children. He has such a way about him. And, I mean, I suppose all priests do. You know, I'm not favouritising anybody. But Father Paddy has such a way about him that you don't just see him as a priest. You see him as one of your own, you know. He's a pillar of the community. And, yeah, he has helped so many people. You know, we've had a lot of grief in Kilmacrenan, and there's been a lot of tragedy. And he's helped each family at one or other time. And I just think it would be so sad to see him go. I really, really pleaded with the bishop.
The bishop seems very clear that he's had to make these decisions, and, you know, he's guided in his decisions as well by his faith, presumably, and he feels... Well, I'm not saying he feels it, but, you know, you had 12 years with Father Paddy. Maybe his calling is elsewhere. Does there come a point whereby, Carol, and I mean this with absolute respect, and just talking to a text from a listener earlier, that this decision is made, and maybe we should start thinking now about ensuring that the replacements feel welcome in their roles that they'll have to take up at the end of next month?
Oh, I wouldn't want any priest coming here feeling unwelcome. I will be honest. I think there's going to be a lot of resentment and a lot of anger. Initially, you can already feel the tension there, because, I mean, Father Paddy's so well loved. So I think there's going to be that aspect of it. It won't take away from the new priest being welcomed. But there's also the hand as well that, you know, we're our own parish. We want to remain that. We want to stay as Kilmacrenan Parish. We don't want to be linked, and that's no offence to any other parish, but we want to remain our own and have our own parish priest. And I think there's a lot of confusion in the sense of we don't have, you know, that definite for sure that there's going to remain a parish priest in Kilmacrenan.
Well, the bishop himself said, well, I believe the parochial house in Kilmacrenan is being knocked, is it not? Someone mentioned that to me. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I believe it to be true. But, I mean, the bishop himself also did say Kilmacrenan and Termon are effectively being merged now.
Okay, yeah, I've heard that as well.
Well, the bishop said that,
We're a bigger town, and I think, there's just a lot of opinions, and I think it's unfortunate where we're at the minute.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be a big turnout on Friday evening for the candlelit vigil?
100%. I would 100%. Yeah, I mean, the petition has shot completely took off, and that speaks volumes. That is the people saying, we want Father Paddy. He's so valued. So if the petition doesn't say it, the turnout on Friday night should. And I would really encourage everybody to step out with us on Friday night in solidarity.
Right, Carol, well spoken. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Take care of yourself. Okay, let's get to some of your comments here. I must say Father McKeever and Father Chambers are equally lovely men. May God bless them in their work. Another listener says, Paddy is a good man, Paddy's a good man, but it will get mean of people to keep him when he can do the same good elsewhere. I understand what you're saying. Would that not be a good thing? So what they're saying effectively is that he can continue his good work in a different area. God bless Father Paddy Dunn, everybody's friend, young and old. Same happened in our parish, and most people never went back to Mass, says a listener. Another, we have a grumpy priest who we would only love would get moved, and a new priest come to our area to breathe new life into our community. Why does some priests not ever get moved? Another, I don't agree that a church leader should feel overruled rather than working collaboratively with parishioners during periods of huge change, as any good leader would do. But if you imagine, if you're making six moves, you'd have to consult with the departure of one, you'd have to consult with the arrival of another, and so on and so forth. And next thing you know, it becomes some sort of a popularity contest for the popular priests. I can imagine that would just... and I'm not taking sides on this either. I just can imagine that might be very, very difficult. Well said, Susan. We don't want to lose Father Paddy, and it's so sad for him and his family as well. Another, are the parish showing any consideration for the incoming priest? Listening to their views, it will be difficult for him to go where he feels he's unwanted. Priests are human as well. I would hope that the priest that is due to come in would understand that it's not it's not motivated by any disrespect for him, that it's just an outpouring of love for Father Paddy Dunn. A caller says that the bishop's decision is detrimental to the parish. If Father Paddy Dunn goes, not only will we lose the younger generation in the church, but we will lose others also when we're trying to encourage more people to come to the chapel. Caller says that it's not that she will not go to Mass, but she will go elsewhere. We need to make Mass to be a loving, welcoming environment, and Father Paddy Dunn provides that. I'm sure the priest coming in will do the same and continue his good work, and maybe there's a job of work to be done to bring younger people back to the church around Ballyshannon. As I say, that's not a judgment or whatever, but maybe that's part of the process. What about the priest in our town, says this listener, who after umpteen attempts to move him is still there after threatening to hand back his collar if he's shifted elsewhere. I'm not sure who they're referring to there. If the people in Kilmacrenan were to boycott the chapel until Father Paddy is allowed to stay, the bishop might rethink. Another, what will the bishop do now when people stop going to Mass? It's not right, says another. I'm not a huge Mass goer myself, but is it not the house of God that people are drawn to practice to partake in the Mass rather than the actual priest themselves? Well, I can tell that bishop that people power is brilliant and he will soon see, because our parish the same happened and the people in their 40s, 50s never went back to Mass. So money-wise, the parish lost out. Another, I thought the priests accepted their new posts. Yes, indeed, they did. They have, they're obliged to do so. Just wondering, did anyone ask Father Paddy how he feels about leaving? But I think we got a good insight into the process from the bishop, in that there is a commitment that is made. There is a promise that is made, and he has to make those decisions. And it kind of is, it really goes back to the very basics of priesthoods and the relationship with the bishop and all. Another says, change is change. It's not fair to stop the process. When a parish gets used to their clergy, they don't like to see change. But unfortunately, that's life. Let another parish benefit from Father Paddy. That's my view. Perhaps the regular clerical changes contribute to the lack of young people taking up priesthood. Change is good, but not for everyone. I personally can't imagine not being able to create a forever home and feel part of a community and not just be passing through. Another, I totally agree with Susan. Young and old are going to miss him so much. Eugene Green has caused carnage to the community. Can we not continue in a little with peace, is effectively what they are saying. I saw someone messaged in, and it was we have it up on our social media on Instagram. En route to work this morning at 3 a.m. near Lurgy Bracken Letterkenny, I witnessed what I believe small alien ships, about 50 or 60. They were all in a line and flying lower than a plane. I can tell you exactly what they are. They are Elon Musk's broadband satellites passing over Ireland yesterday. They are all in a line. There's thousands of them up there. So that's what you saw. Unfortunately, it wasn't aliens, because they might come down and help us. But no, it's Elon Musk's satellites. His Starlink, isn't it? Starlink, yeah. They're all in a line, in a perfect line, orbiting the Earth. They are higher than planes, but they're in the lower part of space. Sorry, just a few more coming in here on the Father Paddy situation. Hi, Greg. I'll not sign a petition simply because I feel that listening to Father Dunn on Sunday last, that he's made up his mind to go and obey his bishop's wishes, and he kind of has to. The petition won't work, as this bishop likes to use his authority and listen to no one's opinion. Same thing happened in Falkara a number of years ago, and the bishop, in fairness, is unapologetic in that he has to make decisions. A caller says, not from Terman Parish, however, during lockdown and at present, I do know of so many people from other parishes who watch and attend Father Dunn's Mass. Please keep him locally, as the parish changes have a negative impact on attendance. And I'm just going to stick with this to bring us up to 10 here now. To give hope to those people, the people of Stranorla were devastated when Father John Joe Duffy was moved to Creasla. In hindsight, the people there were going to need him more than we did. Everything happens for a reason. And that is an incredibly strong point there. in that we do know Father John Joe was heavily involved in any community that he's in and was a pillar in the Twin Towns area, within the community, and what have you. He was moved to Creasler, and the listener makes an amazing point in that. How badly was he needed, and the fact that he was there, how important was it? Everything happens for a reason, they believe. Back after the news and obituary notices.